Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yep. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, January 19th, 2023. We're on the phones, Mike in Kentucky, discussing the article that I mentioned in the first hour. You can find over at pudding.cool. Yes, that's the name of the website. Like I said, it's a Svelte Kit showcase example. What does all of that mean? Never mind about that. Svelte Kit is a meta framework for Svelte. Again, I know that's just kind of speaking a different language. But
Svelte is a grain, isn't it?
Svelte is a lot of things. In this case, Svelte Kit is a meta framework built on top of Svelte. Yeah, Svelte. So anyway, you know, if you type Svelte Kit in a browser, it'll take you there. And down on the... there's a section titled Showcase with 8 examples of websites built with Svelte Kit. Pudding.cool is the first example that you see on the left-hand side, top left corner. If you click on that, there's an article. You scroll down, why some mathematicians argue the economy is designed to create a few super rich people unless we stop it. This is just how, you know, I am aware of this article. You could probably find it a million other ways, but that's how I know you can find it. Anyway, if you scroll down and do the little, you know, the story that it tells, you get to the end of the article. They simulate 10,000 rounds of yard sailing is kind of the example. Not really yard sailing, but these exchanges that happen, a simulation of 10,000 of those takes place. And you see at the end of that, that the richest, like one person basically has all of the money, and then two others have a little bit, and most people have zero. And the point that I was going to make, and again, this is based on a thing called the yard sale model, and a paper they cite specifically, Brian Hayes' paper titled Computing Science, Follow the Money. But the connection here, your point is basically when people are able to save, then there's the trickle up, so to speak. I wish I could remember the name of the guy primarily responsible for
Keynesian economics. Was that Keynesian? Was that where Reagan and trickle-down economics came in?
No. That's a longer story. But anyway,
okay.
The difference is, you know, spending versus saving. And so with the yard sale model, in this case applied, it's the World Economic Forum, you will own nothing, you'll rent everything and be happy. It's that model.
So,
and the opposite is what you're talking about, which is where in America, basically we were encouraged to save. And so we go back 2-3 generations, they kept everything because it might get cannibalized and repurposed for something later, as we may term it these days.
I think that came out of the Great Depression. A lot of people hoarded stuff.
Absolutely.
And survived the Great Depression by that. I've got a family members that are kind of hoarders. They won't let go. Oh, I could use that for something.
We say hoarders, but that's, I think it's a disingenuous term. And I feel like part of what's gone on, you know, you think of Bernays and him talking about creating a piano parlor to sell pianos. We have all these shows now, you know, that just basically villainize keeping things. It's construed as hoarding in a person's mind. And so we should be getting rid of all that stuff so that we can downscale and go into our tiny home, which is another cottage industry. And, you know, it's patently, I would say, traditionally un-American. When you look back and you're able to shake off that propaganda, you look back at these folks, you know, I know, lots of people who listen to this network know people who, man, they kept a lot of stuff, but it didn't look like hoarding. Maybe they still do, but it didn't look like hoarding. They just got stuff, and it's, you know, they keep it around. Most of us say, why do you keep that around? And they say, I don't know. I feel like I might need it at some point. It might be useful. And what do you know? Sure enough,
well,
down the line.
Nice people over
absolutely.
My life sometimes give me a gift. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got to use this now. So I just found, doing early spring cleaning, two pairs of bicycling shoes that are real stiff that I didn't know I'd forgot I had, you know. And so you can get so much stuff, you don't realize how many blessings you have. You know, you got too much clutter. Yeah. And so, but I became pretty popular among some people in my area because I kept this, it's kind of funny, hillbilly, buy a dog, sell a hog, like a swap shop sort of TV show going. And I've been different places, and youngsters recognize me. We got our swimming pool from your show, you know. And it allowed them to buy a poor family to afford a swimming pool, you know. So it made me kind of popular. Little did I know I was coming head first against this New World Order Klaus Schwab, you know, tiny home, no possessions economy that they've been had in the works for decades.
Well, you know, that's
a world record fine from the FCC because, I wouldn't be a censor. I'm not the engineer for this station. And I had an FCC consultant tell me that I needed to appeal it. He didn't like the way they were treating us and low-power TV in general. So we appealed it, and they gave us a world record fine. $144,000 trying to claim Moody's or somebody gave us a credit rating of $170,000 a year. Well, we never cleared more than $35,000 a year, and that was just barely enough to keep the thing running. We had the equivalent of less than a refrigerator light bulb. 18 watts was the licensed power for that station. There was a one point the Center for Public Integrity had an article about hundreds of channels and nothing on. This guy held hundreds of those channels trying to claim that he went on 30 minutes a month and put something on across the southern United States. He was trying to hold them until digital television came along to make wireless cable. Well, they let him carry on for over a decade with hundreds of channels in his name. Never find him a bit. He finally died. Huh?
I said, yep, who can make war with the beast?
Well, I certainly thought I was helping people more than making war with the beast. But, yeah, I did do a lot of the news. That was one of the first things they asked me to do there, besides TV commercial production, was for several years I wasn't really on the air except doing a late evening newscast, and I covered a lot of the stuff that RBN covers. And we had phone mess stuff going on that had to be, well, it was 6 years before the Patriot, or well, several years before the Patriot Act, that and I didn't know about this thing called a hook bypass switch, where the phones can be listening in all the way back to hear Grandma with the milkman while it's on the hook.
Right.
So they could blackmail and extort us since 1970, automated. I didn't know there was such thing as voice to text in 1970, but a person that knew about our problems at the TV studio came forward. And they used them because they had a heavy Eastern European accent to tweak voice-to-text in 1968. The Matrix has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
A long time.
It has. And we are afield a bit. I'm going to get back on track. I appreciate
your
call, Mike. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Much appreciated, as always. Interesting stuff. And definitely been around a long time. No doubt about that. Let's see. Speaking of back on track, how about, where are we here? Quigley's Anglo-American establishment. I think, that's a good place to return. So, from Quigley's Anglo-American Establishment. This is from Chapter 1, Introduction, pages 9 and 10. We'll start there. By way of background, history, and why it's relevant going forward. In Milner's, Lord Alfred Milner, in Milner's own little circle at Balliol, the dominant position was held by Toynbee, Arnold J. Toynbee. In spite of his early death in 1883, Toynbee's ideas and outlook continue to influence the Milner Group to the present day. As Milner, and I would say, you know, the present day includes this present day, without a doubt. Maybe I can demonstrate that a little bit, in a bit. As Milner said in 1894, quote, "There are many men now active in public life, and some whose best work is probably yet to come, who are simply working out ideas inspired by him," end quote. As Toynbee's influence on Milner himself, the latter, as to Toynbee's influence on Milner himself, the latter, speaking of his first meeting with Toynbee in 1873, said 21 years later, quote, "I feel at once under his spell, and I have always remained under it," end quote. No one who is ignorant of the existence of the Milner Group can possibly see the truth of these quotations, and as a result, the thousands of persons who have read these statements in the introduction to Toynbee's famous lectures on the Industrial Revolution have been vaguely puzzled by Milner's insistence on the importance of a man who died at such an early age and so long ago. Most readers have merely dismissed the statements and sentimentality inspired by personal attachment, although it should be clear that Alfred Milner was about the last person in the world to display sentimentality or even sentiment. Toynbee can also be regarded as the founder of the method used by the group later, and I would say, again, you can see it. That's what the World Economic Forum is doing. Sort of, you know, the revelation of the method, the thing that H.G. Wells was doing and the others, where it's coming more and more out into plain view, being revealed more and more. Like Wells wrote, like you see in the work of the hierarchy, externalization of the hierarchy, those kinds of things, it's coming out. And as a result, when I mention the Hills video, Elon Musk slams satanic ESG, you know, it just sounds, well, that just sounds kind of hyperbolic. It's a sensational term. No, it shouldn't be thought of that way, because, you know, language has been co-opted, conscripted, redefined. Terms that should shock us to attention, so to speak, have been weaponized and sort of flipped around. Anyway, Toynbee can also be regarded as the founder of the method used by the group later, especially in the roundtable groups and in the Royal Institute of International Affairs. As described by Benjamin Jowett, Master of Balliol, in his preface to the 1884 edition of Toynbee's lectures on the Industrial Revolution, this method was as follows. Quote, "He would gather his friends," and again, just think about what goes on with the Davos set, shall we say, and the globetrotting that goes on, and the sound bites that roll out before and after and throughout the year, and the coordination of things like I mentioned, you know, and if you're watching even just like, you know, the most pedestrian forms of that advertising and things, this fourth industrial revolution stuff and so on, you know, it was rolled out immediately by some companies when Klaus Schwab announced the fourth industrial revolution nonsense back in 2016. How did they How did certain institutions manage to mobilize advertising campaigns immediately? And, you know, for that matter, where did the Great Reset stuff come from back in June of 2020? And why did the Biden administration adopt it wholesale? And why did the American people not say, now, wait a minute, the Davos set can do sort of whatever they want, kind of, but that's all patently un-American. We have a system of checks and balances, separation of government, and all that. None of this correlates to that. These people are not even American predominantly, let alone are they elected. Let alone do they represent some constituency, regardless of their hubris and whatever their egalitarian motives, ostensibly. So the method, Toynbee method, he would gather his friends around him. They would form an organization. They would work on quietly for a time, some at Oxford, some in London. They would prepare themselves in different parts of the subject until they were ready to strike in public, end quote. Strike in public. That sounds patently Fabian. In a prefatory note to this same edition, Toynbee's widow wrote, quote, the whole has been revised by the friend who shared my husband's entire intellectual life, Mr. Alfred Milner. I guess when you're Toynbee's widow, you don't have to, you know, call him Lord Milner. Without whose help, the volume would have been far more imperfect than it is, but whose friendship was too close and tender to allow now a word of thanks. End quote. After Milner published his Reminiscence of Arnold Toynbee, it was reprinted in subsequent editions of the Industrial Revolution as a memoir replacing Jowett's. I'm going to skip ahead now to Chapter 10, The Royal Institute of International Affairs, page 197. This brief sketch, and, you know, you have to read the chapter. It's the chapter, you know, Chapter 10. This brief sketch of the Royal Institute of International Affairs and, you know, all roundtable public relations groups, you know, insert group here, does not by any means indicate the very considerable influence which the organization exerts in English-speaking countries in the sphere to which it is devoted. The extent of that influence must be obvious. The purpose of this chapter has been something else, to show that the Milner Group controls the Institute. Once that is established, the picture changes. The influence of Chatham House appears in its true perspective, not as the influence of an autonomous body. That's what people perceive of these groups, an autonomous body, but as merely one of many instruments in the arsenal of another power. When the influence which the Institute wields is combined with that controlled by the Milner Group in other fields, in education and administration and newspapers and periodicals, what did Klaus Schwab say? Captured. The young global leaders. You know, the cabinets are captured by the young global leaders. A really terrifying picture begins to emerge, Quigley wrote. This picture is called terrifying not because the power of the Milner Group was used for evil ends. It was not. On the contrary, it was generally used with the best intentions in the world, even if those intentions were so idealistic as to be almost academic. The picture is terrifying because... I'll finish that thought when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My friend, yes, feels their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't all that use me stuff. I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up.
Welcome back.
Until you use me up.
So, why is the, prospect of the Milner Group and its overwhelming control concerning, disturbing, indeed terrifying, as Quigley wrote. When the influence which the Institute wields, and you know, it's a proxy, Chatham House. How many people in America are familiar with Chatham House and this influence and these, you know, the ripples that emanate out from a round table sort of influence. It's a holographic structure, as Jordan Peterson said. And, you know, again, I think of the example that Frank Kitson the illustration, literally. What was it? It's I forget what page. 150 something? No. Yeah, 128. Diagrammatical representation of a subversive organization in an urban setting. It's a holographic structure, like Jordan Peterson said. So I think if you turn that model 90 degrees to the left, what you have is, you know, then you see a pyramidal sort of shape forming, and you imagine like the raised capstone, those above the veil of secrecy. That's that last line there on the right. And if you turn that 90 degrees to the, you know, counterclockwise, you see a pyramidal. And then the terrorists and saboteurs, you know, are the folks influencing the base of the pyramid in holographic sort of fashion. That's exactly what Quigley is writing about. When the influence which the Institute wields is combined with that controlled by the Milner Group and other fields in education, and think about where we are. Think about guys like Bill Gates, for example. In education and administration, in newspapers and periodicals, a really terrifying picture begins to emerge. This picture is called terrifying not because the power of the Milner Group was used for evil ends. It was not. On the contrary, it was used generally. It was generally used with the best of intentions in the world, even if those intentions were so idealistic as to be almost academic. I think that's a soundbite that was kind of a CYA kind of thing. I want to make sure I don't get myself whacked, so I'll put this in there. That's my own suspicion, my own conjecture. The picture is terrifying because such power, whatever the goals at which it may be directed, is too much to be entrusted safely to any group. That it was too much to be safely entrusted to the Milner Group will appear quite clearly in chapter 12. Read chapter 12. No country that values its safety should allow what the Milner Group accomplished in Britain, that is, that a small number of men should be able to wield such power in administration and politics, should be given almost complete control over the publication of the documents relating to their actions, should be able to exercise such influence over the avenues of information that create public opinion, and should be able to monopolize so completely the writing and the teaching of the history of their own period. And yet, guess what? Surprise! The same practice continues unabated today. You have hints of that, you know, David Rockefeller, thank you to the press, those kinds of things. You know, it's pretty, you know, for anyone who's paying attention, it's pretty obvious the establishment press is the rumor has it W.T. Stead is responsible for the creation of so-called, you know, the modern incarnation of investigative journalism. But, well, anyway, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. So why is this disturbing, terrifying, as Quigley wrote, and not being hyperbolic? You know, this concentration of power in the wrong hands for the wrong ends is dangerous. And, you know, I would go a step beyond that and say, in sort of, you know, shall we say, maybe Jeffersonian fashion, which is, you know, maybe not the best analogies, best of analogies. You know, the way Jefferson put it in his inaugural address, sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him, which is, you know, interesting for a Unitarian. You know, are we talking about 2 Corinthians 11 type angels? Or, you know, what kind of angels are we talking about here? Let history answer this question. Anyway, man is flawed. And, you know, there's always this problem that man is plagued by. So it's this concentration of power. And as Lord Acton put it very well, power tends to corrupt. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. Influence and not authority. That's the age we live in. We live in the age of influence. Again, Russell wrote about it in The Impact of Science on Society. And it's all through the early precursors to that, from Laban to Bernays and Walter Lippmann, et so many all, through Bertrand Russell into, you know, the manipulation of human behavior by Biderman and Zimmer, for example. Why is it getting more virulent and more aggressive and more sort of Nietzschean will to power and Machiavellian, you know what, means justify the ends, but I don't need to, you know, it's need to know, you don't need to know. So why is it getting more that if it's so noble and egalitarian? Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence. I would say especially when they exercise influence and not authority, because then, you know, the influence is duplicitous and misleading. It's subtle and is not perceived properly as a more assertive kind of authority than just outright authority. Still more, Acton wrote, when you superadd the tendency of the certainty of corruption by authority, there is no worse heresy than that the office sanctifies the holder of it. That is the point at which the end learns to justify the means. You will hang a man of no position and spare these criminals for some mysterious reason. And that's what's happening. James Madison, Federalist 47, right? The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, or sometimes D, all of the above, or almost all of the above in cases like Bill Gates, you know, supreme grand poobah of the universe, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. That used to be, shall we say, a patently American maxim. What happened? That's why it's dangerous. Carol Quigley, The Anglo-American Establishment from Rhodes to Cliveden, 1981. Everyone should read it and understand that we are in the throes of the same forces to this very day. Back to the phones. Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, simple question. Is Klaus Schwab a transhuman or is he invincible? What?
I don't know, and I don't think so.
Well, the constellation that I have of decades of dealing with the flesh of both the living and the dead is they all pass on, and what's really curious is their cadavers smell as bad as the poor man.
That's a fact.
So that's my consolation.
Yeah.
They're going to face eternity sometime.
And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, you listen to these people, they spend so much time, so much effort, so much money, and, you know, everything in the scenario planning and, you know, divining and sort of vision casting the future in, you know, spellbinding sort of ways. And they, you know, they don't know the future. I mean, it's just interesting the way that the future is. It's all inevitable if you listen to these people. And I'm with you. I mean, they all put their pants on one leg at a time, just like all of us. No matter what kind of spell casting they engage in.
They're defecating in their own nest. They're stuck on this planet. There is no escape. So why are they defiling or defecating in their own nest?
Well, it's the satanic
nest of their family.
Yeah, it's the satanic hubris of presuming that, you know, this, that creation can be remade and improved. I will ascend above the heights of heaven. I will become like the Most High. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's the advantage I've had to dealing with the cadavers in the morgue, is they all smell the same. I don't care how pious they were in life. When they get to that point, they're as putrid as the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. What they left in the world is probably even more putrid. What's really interesting is the elitists produce more waste than anybody. They produce more carbon dioxide than anybody.
Yep.
So the hypocrisy is that they want you to go without while they do everything to accumulate your without.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Turning the yard sale model upside down to
they're
the point that Mike was making. Yep, absolutely.
Did you lose me?
Nope. Absolutely. I agree. Thank you. Much appreciated,
Tom.
Okay,
my phone dropped out for a minute there. Yeah, the dead stink.
Mm-hmm.
And they stink.
Yep. Yep, so, you know, probably not good to listen to and take advice from pirates, you know, whose flag and emblem is the Jolly Roger. Speaking of the dead, John 10:10, I think, applies with force. Thank you, Tom. Much appreciated, as always. So, to the, you know, to these folks, to this point, you know, the Davos set is in view, in particular these days, you know, to the John Kerrys, the Bill Gates, the Klaus Schwabs, the Hillary Clintons, et so many all, who presume to wear themselves out in religious devotion to the ostensible service to their subhuman fellow man or woman or person, thing, whatever. I say Oswald Chambers, most for his highest, yesterday's entry, January 18, titled, "It is the Lord." He cites John 20:28. Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Chambers writes, "Give me to drink," quote unquote. How many of us are set upon Jesus Christ slaking our thirst when we ought to be satisfying him? This is the point. This is the issue. You know, it's so astonishing. Can you find me one in, I don't know, 100, 1,000, 10,000, a million Christians? I bet you can't. You gotta ponder on it a while, I think, maybe. I did for years. All those years ago, whenever it was, somewhere around 2006, 2007, this friend says, "I think communism is a religion." Yeah, it is, but we're like, what exactly? How Now I can answer it very simply. It's the counterfeit of Acts chapter 2. From each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. That's why when Raphael Warnock stands in a pulpit and says that the early church was socialist, most people find those things indistinguishable. Meta and context are everything today. You know, today it's not so much the stuff that you see or the words that are said as much as what you don't see and what's not said. That's the meta and the context particularly. So speaking of Acts chapter 2 and socialism, no, Raphael Warnock, you are mistaken. You're misguided. The early church was not socialist. The mark of the line of demarcation is who decides. Who's in charge? Who decides? There was not a poobah deciding in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit was impressing upon people's hearts. And they were free. It was Ananias and Sapphira, right? That, you know, they sold a thing. And Peter even says it was yours until you sold it. And you said that you were going to do this thing. Who told them they had to do it? No one. The state didn't compel them to do it. But the Holy Spirit impressed upon their hearts, you know, this is what you need to do. And they lied, essentially, to the Holy Spirit in doing what they were doing. There was no poobah. There was no communitarian Soviet council or committee dictating. They had all things in common. Raphael Warnock is correct. But the state was not compelling and coercing folks. Who is in charge? Who decides? So, like Chambers writes, how many of us are set upon Jesus Christ slaking our thirst when we ought to be satisfying him? You know, another parenthetical aside, you read Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, for example, and you see all of these people, over and over, he did not see the promise fulfilled in his time, did not see, you know. Who in today's America especially has that view? I'm going to live my entire life in service even though I might not see. I've been promised. God promised me, and I know if he promised, he's faithful in all things and he will see it through. He will finish this good work he started. How many people are willing to persevere as we are called to persevere in the Bible? And I would say, again, to me, that's something that used to be an American concept that wasn't even spoken of. It was just something that was in people's DNA, that generation that saved things and repurposed them. They did that. They just lived it. It was who they were. They didn't talk about it. Just did it. Chambers writes, we should be pouring out now, spending to the last limit, not drawing on him to satisfy us. Quote, ye shall be witnesses unto me, end quote. That means a life of unsullied, uncompromising, and unbridled devotion to the Lord Jesus, a satisfaction to him wherever he places us. And then this, beware of anything that competes with the loyalty of Jesus, beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him. The Davos set. Oh, it's a, you know, we are the high priests. We are the servants of you all. Mm-hmm. Greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him. It is easier to serve than to be drunk to the dregs and not intoxicated, but the other thing. The one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not a call to do something for him. Cattle on a thousand hills are mine. What are you going to give me? We are not sent to battle for God, but to be used by God in his battlings. Are we being more devoted to service than to Jesus Christ? And so backing up, beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. There are denominations and factions and these kinds of things. How many people are willing to set aside, I don't know, the Book of Mormon, the Catechism, this, that? If, you know, say Jesus Christ demanded it, this person's book, that person's book, this tradition of men, that was what the encounter with the rich young ruler was all about. It wasn't about money and possessions. It was about what is the sacred cow that you're unwilling to relinquish. We have a lot of sacred cows. We have a lot of idols in America. Someone should be tearing down the high places. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. I know this is kind of, you know, it feels more and more like a, I don't know, to me anyway, it feels more and more like a fire and brimstone thing. It's kind of creeping into Sunday morning territory. It's not intended to be that way. I don't feel like it's entirely in my control. I'm the host of this broadcast, but, you know, it's always been from the beginning, it was supposed to be something that was led by the Lord. And I've never been I don't know. To be clear, I guess I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but, you know, I've never been secretive about that. I didn't, you know, publicize it widely in the early days. I mentioned it from the outset, but at the same time, you know, I don't want, it's kind of a delicate balance. You don't want people to feel like you're sneaking up on you, on them, but you don't want to have people perceiving that you have any doubt or, you know, some kind of lack of faith or whatever. Anyway, I feel like it's creeping into the marriage of Sunday morning meets, I don't know, CNN or Fox News kind of thing. That's reality, though. And not this, you know, so-called secularizing of things where things are and people are compartmentalized mentally in ways we don't realize and things are separated. That's not life. Life is life. It's all one big messy tangle. And the closest that I think I've seen to what I generally am describing as Western esotericism is the some of the stuff that Chuck Missler wrote over at K-House and that article that I mentioned, I think, yesterday, Kabbalah and the Rise of Mysticism. And so, you know, there's some interesting stuff in that article that I think, you know, explains a number of things. As an example of you know, kind of where we're at and what's going on. Actually, we're out of time. So, yeah. See that? I don't know. Maybe I'll get back to that stuff. That was part of my rant the other day, a Sunday morning style rant. Maybe I'll come back to that at some point. This is reality, though. Despite the gaslighting, despite the social engineering, despite all of the psychological warfare that's in full force, you're not crazy. It's really happening. So this has been your cathartic moment. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.